You're listening to the Valley College Connection podcast, where John Kawai and Scott Wiegand, two Valley professors, engage in a conversation about success with educators and students. Each week, they'll sit down with a different guest to find out ways each of us have had to plan, persevere, and overcome to be where we are now. The show will also highlight resources and services that are working to make a difference at Los Angeles Valley College. John and Scott believe that all of us and the college itself are a work in progress. And in this podcast, they'll explore on a more personal level how the community can work together to support each other as we move forward with our goals.
We are joined today by Ellie Rabini, CalWORKS Director at Los Angeles Valley College. Thank you so much for sitting down with us this afternoon, Ellie.
Thanks for having me today.
We wanted to find out more about the CalWORKS program and some of the other initiatives that you're involved with on campus. If you could share with us the scope of the program, what you're up to, what you're excited about, that'd be great.
We started the GAIN CalWORKS office about 31 years ago on campus. It was GAIN originally, and then in 1996, it became CalWORKS program. So we are helping students that they are referred by the Department of Social Services to us to provide them with short-term and long-term goals and employment opportunity and enhancing their skills. We work with many immigrants coming from different countries and work with non-credit program and also workforce development. But under CalWORKS, we as the campus, compared to the other sister colleges, we are the only CalWORKS program that we have other program going on, and one of them is a contract with Los Angeles County of Education that we provide services like vocational assessments and learning disability evaluation for Department of Social Services participants that eventually few of them will come and start here. So that's a contract that is going more than 10 years, and we have to write a grant, and every 3 years we write a grant, and we get that. I assume we are the only campus community colleges that we have that contract. Mainly the businesses, they have those contracts. Under that contract, we speak 12 languages, so we provide vocational assessment in 12 languages. Our main languages are Spanish, Russian, Armenian, Farsi, and Arabic. And
so what is vocational assessment?
It takes about half a day for a participant to come to our campus, or we go off campus as a group to provide that vocational assessment. Talking to them, learning about what they have done in their country or in previous jobs, why they are not working. So it's about 5, 6 hours, 3 hours, depends to individuals. And by the end of the day, we are giving them a few testing. We assess their abilities, and then we offer them. They tell us what they want to do, and we give them the facts about short-term goals, long-term goals, how can they do it, are they single parents, is English a second language? So we have to evaluate all of those variables and put a plan for them and send it to the Department of Social Services. And then Department of Social Services case managers, they refer them to the programs. They want to become RN, they want to become manufacturing, they want to get into to learn ESL, it depends. So we come up with like 5 pages of report by the end of the day, and they share that with their case managers, and from there they follow those goals.
And who's eligible for these programs?
People who receive cash aid from government. They have to be approved by Department of Social Services. So we are, CalWORKS is basically a liaison between campus, our campus, and Department of Social Services. What we do for these students is to provide educational plan, work with instructors to make sure they are successful, provide tutoring, make sure they receive their paperwork on time so they can continue with their benefits. We also work with their caseworkers regarding the book vouchers. We have to verify their classes. We have to verify their progress. Transportation is another voucher that we have to approve. Childcare, we work with also our childcare center on campus and off-campus childcare centers. So we are just here to make sure the students have all the services to be successful to end the semester, basically.
So you don't have to do any recruitment then. So if I was a student who thought that I may be eligible for support, where would I go first? To social services or to you?
If they are receiving cash aid, they can either go to Department of Social Services and talk to their caseworker. They have a caseworker. Or they can come to us and say, you know what, I heard about your program. Can you contact my caseworker? We do that. We talk to them. And we follow through. There is no problem on that. Either way.
How many students are involved in the program?
Each year is different. Yeah. This year we were 820, 25. It all depends to the flagging, and because we have our district flagging, so sometimes it goes up and down. But I would say for the last couple of years, the last 4 years, we are somewhere between 780 to 820, 850.
Wow. And is it for a particular geographic service area where they refer to Valley College? Or?
It could be mainly for San Fernando Valley.
Okay.
Mission College has its own CalWORKs. Pierce has its own.
Okay.
And City. These are the campuses around us.
Yeah.
But also it depends to the field. For example, if we are offering a short-term training here, people can come from, I don't know.
Mm. Wherever.
Yeah.
Right.
So what are the services that are most popular that the students like the most?
Based on our record, we collected some data for the last year, and we actually reported last week to the president that top majors that our students are enrolled are RN, business, accounting, and child development.
And then how does the child care work?
We work with our child care center because that's part of the state contract that we have to work with our child care center. So we usually have between 10 to 12 slots of our child care center. And we use that. And, of course, the students still have to be in the waiting list. But they work with us based on our needs. And also, so it's much easier for our students to drop their kids in the morning, go to the class, and then go to the work study that we create on campus, which we work with our financial aid office, go to the class, go to work, go and check the kid, pick up the kids, go home. So it really works well. But sometimes when we don't have enough space, they have to use the off-campus CCRC, or even they can have their own babysitter, and we just have to verify the hours that they are in school.
And do they get a voucher for that babysitter?
Yes, they do.
I know that your office also does some of the testing over there is it for HISED, or can you explain a little bit more about what's provided there?
As I said, our CalWORKs office is different than the other campuses. We chose to create a testing center. The last few years, we started with GED, but now we extended that program, and currently we are providing GED, HISED, which is a high school equivalency exam. And starting last summer, this summer actually, we started SAT for high school students. And also there is a test called TOEIC, which is very close to TOEFL, which is for students or people who come from other countries to work in the companies, and their writing and listening needs to be tested, which is once a month. We provide the second week of the month. The testing center idea was we provide services to the community. Mm-hmm. So the students can come and take the SAT test. Why do they have to go to Los Angeles to take that SAT test? And this is very exciting for us. The goal is in the next 2 years to have GRE, GMAT, and CBEST as well.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Yes.
How is it that the students are, or how is the community referred to this testing center for GET or for HiSET? Is it something that you have a...
Mainly, Scott, everything is on the computer. So if the student wants to take SAT, they go to the SAT website, mm-hmm. they look at the location, and they just sign. They pay.
Okay.
HiSET, GED is the same situation.
Okay.
The dates could be different, but SAT is always the same. TOEIC is always the same. Okay. So they look at the zip code and they look and see where they can go. And maybe they are familiar with Valley College, they want to come, or maybe they took a course here. Right. So it all depends to their choice. Yeah, it's their choice.
And you said that that's unique to Valley as opposed to Pearson Mission. Do they not offer that?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's great.
So for the students, the foreign-born students who come over here that are in your program, what are the main reasons that they struggle to sort of be able to transfer their skills from their home country to the United States?
Well, that's not our role as a testing center to mm-hmm. ask that question. We provide these tests, which is TOEIC for them. Mm-hmm. So then the company will look at their English skills, and they may offer or may not offer the job. But working with many immigrants mm-hmm. in the field that we have, this test helps them to maybe learn what they need to enhance, what they need to do to get better. It's a good test for them, mm-hmm. you know, to just evaluate their language skills, mm-hmm. I would say. And Scott, going back to your previous question, I want you to know that before we had this contract, but starting July this summer, GED is administered in all in our district, in all the campuses. It's a contract from the district. Mm-hmm. Okay. We used to have it, but now every campus has GED, not the other testing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the difference between GED and HiSET?
Well, everybody asked me that question. I can be technical, and the easiest way is to say Burger King and McDonald's. Both of them give you French fries and hamburger, mm-hmm. but it depends to the different level of math and writing. Mm-hmm. But basically, you get your high school equivalency test.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So could you tell us a little bit about Helping Hands?
Well, that's a project that you can ask any faculty and staff. This doesn't belong to CalWORKS or me or anybody. I'm privileged to work with staff, faculty, students, and community volunteers to do this. Of course, I have the 100% support of president, VPs, and deans, which makes our lives much easier. 7 years ago, when nobody knew about homelessness, nobody knew that the students are sleeping in the parks or under one of our buildings, we started this program. It was 7-8 of us that we decided to do it as a volunteer, and we created some kind of awareness to the campus that this is an issue. The way it started is one of our instructors, I'm not sure if I can tell you who, because he doesn't want us to announce it. He donated $1,000 Ralph's gift card to one of the counselors for a student's needs. And she contacted us and said, do you think you can use this? Because it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then we said, okay, why can't we have a meeting? So it started like that. And then little by little, we did fundraising. We sold hot dogs and hamburger. As you guys remember, you all participated. Staff, faculty learned about this program, and they came and they joined us, and they put things together. And now I'm glad to say that after 7 years, it's almost a year that the state noticed the need of helping these students, and they are giving us funding, which is not a lot. I want you to know that, but we are happy that it's been recognized. And now we have about 40 faculty, staff, volunteer students helping us with this program. We have quarterly meetings. Community is very involved with us. A foundation scholarship. They created a fund for us. I have to say that we are helping over 200 students, wow. But 40 of them are case management day by day or week by week, giving them educational plan, book vouchers, food vouchers. Tuesday, Wednesdays, the pantry is open from 11 to 1.
So could you explain the pantry?
Of course. That's something we started this summer. We are getting produce every Sunday, the leftovers from farmers market, food forward. They donate that to us. One of the program staff, she's doing it as a volunteer, go and pick up all the food, come here, put it in the pantry. Monday morning, we all go, whoever can, from our office or volunteers. We go and wrap them and pack them in the Ziploc. And Tuesday, we go to Mend and we pick up food from Mend, 2-3 trucks. We mm-hmm. bring them here, do the same thing. Every morning, we go to one of the elementary schools and pick up the leftover breakfast, which is awesome, so we can feed the students. And then on Tuesdays, we are ready to provide Tuesday and Wednesday from 11 to 1. The pantry is open for people to pick up organic fruit and vegetables, as well as canned food. Anything that we have, bread, whatever we have, they can come and pick up. They can take it home. Many of our students, they have children, and or they live in a car, basically. So this helps them with the food. I can say that if you're a student in need, they can eat and have food, fruits for the week, basically.
Where's the food pantry located on campus?
Campus center. First floor of Campus Center is used to be the bookstore, if you remember. It's mm-hmm. right there. It's a little patio. We are open, and the food is there. All we need is a signature, a name, so we can keep the data, so we can show that we are using this food for this group of students. And every day that we are open, we serve between 70 to 90 people.
How have you seen the awareness of food insecure students grow over the 7 years since you've been involved in the program, and what do you attribute that to?
Well, I would say that faculty and staff are more aware about it. One of the good examples is, if you noticed, this year in the opening day, the president's, 80% of president's opening day
speech,
thank mm-hmm. you, was regarding the helping hands,
yeah.
and asking the staff and faculty to be a part of it. We sent flyers, we sent informations, and basically we have one person within our committee for each program, like you guys. So you guys know what's happening, and you share it with your staff, with your coworkers, with faculty that you work with. And it's going great. It's going great.
So what are the dates and times of the food pantry?
Tuesday and Wednesday from 11 to 1. And if you need anything, you can come to the CalWORKS office from 8 to 4, and you can ask us.
Okay. And then does that include, I know you guys give out clothing also, right?
Yes, absolutely. Clothing, toiletries, food. Basically, we even have a sleeping bag, brand new sleeping bags for the ones that they don't have. Blankets. You can just come and ask, and we try to provide it for you. Even if we don't have it, we will give you a gift card so you can go and purchase it, or we purchase it and they can come and pick it up. This year, because we work with wonderful community volunteers, they are donating about $400 of toys to us for the children of the students that they can't afford, which we are going to work closely with EOPS and CARE program as well.
Wow. Yeah. I know. Your program is always the thing I'm most proud about our campus.
It's the campus program. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
The management of this, you know, is really amazing that your team has said that we see this need and we have a will and we're just going to fix it. We're not waiting for permission. We're not waiting for someone to tell us or give us money. We're not asking for, you know, like, can we do this? You guys are just doing it.
Right.
And as it grows, it's really amazing. Do you think the homelessness has gotten worse or that students are just more open about it now?
It's getting worse because of the rent. Students cannot afford the rent anymore. We used to be able to find a room for a student in a house or in an apartment for $500, $600. Now a room is about $8, $9 or $1,000 if you want to rent. A lot of students coming from other states, out of states, it's really difficult. They can't imagine what they have to go through, especially we work with football coaches that they have people coming from other states to play in a football team. Mm-hmm. They need a lot of help as well. Yeah. So we are working with different programs and learning that, oh, somebody who came from Ohio or Iowa and has no idea what's going on in L.A., that the traffic, the car, the insurance, the housing, the food, everything. So we work with different group of people. I would say students are more open because everything is more expensive and they can't afford it. And if you have children, that's way different, very different.
You're doing so much, Ellie. Your program is doing so much. You're coordinating and involved in so many of these important activities on campus. What's next? Where are you focusing your attention sort of looking ahead? Is there another program or something on the horizon that you're passionate about, that you're interested in, or what are you thinking?
Well, I always think that working in a community college, you have to provide whatever is needed for the community. So maybe next year there is something that we need to come up with, and we will try to do that. At this point, I think the helping hand needs more attention, and we have to look into the grants because we still don't have funding. This is all volunteer and fundraising and little here and there. So we are always looking for grants to provide for the students. And also the testing center, I'm hoping that the testing center become more available to people to take the exams and extending the hours. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult to keep the office and the computer lab open.
Sure.
A lot of people are working from 8 in the morning till 5 and coming here at 6 or 7. I don't have the staff. I don't have that funding. Mm-hmm. So having a better functioning testing center is the goal for the next year or two, and also enhancing the Helping Hands funding. But of course, I was a student worker about 32 years ago. I started with GAIN program. I was making copies and making coffee and going to the mailroom. So CalWORKS is always there for me. So making the program better, providing more counseling, case management, and making sure our students reach their goals. That's the main goal of the program.
So 30 years ago, where were you a student worker at?
Right here on campus, GAIN program. I was one of the international students, English as a second language. And I came here and I needed a work study. Otherwise, I couldn't go to school. I had to pay for my classes. And at that time, Dr. Schneider was the director of the GAIN program, which is CalWORKS right now. He hired me, and I was teaching math using Play-Doh system at that time.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. To the students for their high school. And then I became a caseworker for the office, and then I started teaching with computer science department, and then coordinating, and then counseling, and then working as an administrator.
So where did you immigrate from?
I'm originally from Iran.
Okay. And then how old were you when you came here?
Well, let's not go there. I was 27 years old.
Okay. And then so when you came over here, did you already have a bachelor's in Iran? Or?
Yes, I already had a bachelor degree, but I started all over again, and I studied, I was majoring CSIT, computer application.
And then when you were at Valley, what were you learning then? What major were you?
Computer science.
Oh,
programming.
I see. Okay.
Computer science programming. And then I had the advantage of when I finished to teach for 3 or 4 years, I was teaching computer science classes as well. I enjoyed teaching, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. I was always enjoying working with social work, counseling, and education. That's what I always wanted to do.
So then did you get another bachelor's after that? Or?
I got a bachelor degree and an associate degree and 2 masters, one from Cal State Northridge Public Administration, and 1 master from Cal Lutheran Counseling and College Guidance.
So which one do you think really helped you sort of become successful in where you are now?
When I do vocational assessment in Farsi language, they ask me, oh, I lost this many years doing this. I can't. And I say, you don't, because let me explain that everything that you have done, you're going to benefit from it. And I tell them that I even went to law school for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And after 2 years, I learned that I'm not a lawyer. I can't get up and fight every single day. That's not my personality. But I use those 2 years to help my students with legal matters. I'm using my counseling degree to help students with counseling, and I did go get certified for learning disability. I enjoy public administration because now, as an administrator, I need to know how to delegate, how to manage a program. With computer science, although it wasn't the field that I wanted, but I taught and I learned what are the needs of the students. So I would say that it's never late to learn. I started learning Spanish, and I wish I continued. So, and I'm hoping that I will in future. So it's an ongoing thing.
Wow, you've never left school then, huh?
Nope.
And have you worked at another college in the district, or have you been at Valley since you were a student worker? Or?
I was always at Valley. I worked almost 2 years across the street at the help group, mm-hmm. working with SED students and helping them to transition from helping help group to community colleges or the campus. So mm-hmm. I was still doing the same thing I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And also I worked, I believe, for a semester at Rio Hondo, which mm-hmm. was hourly. Mm-hmm. Over there.
Oh, and why don't you explain what an SED student is?
Severely emotional disturbed kids.
Yes. Yeah. I used to send teachers to work with them, and it's just a whole different set of challenges, right? Because it just doesn't make sense sometimes why they're angry. They're just angry, or where their emotion is sometimes doesn't make sense. But I remember the administrator there, you know, would tell the teachers that if you can teach here, you can teach anywhere.
I learned a lot from them.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from the students, and that helped me how to teach, how to work with people.
So how did you come to have this passion for learning disabled students?
Basically, it was part of the CalWORKS program, a lot of training. The contract we received from LACO 10 years ago, that was part of it. Working at the help group. So it just taught me how to work with different individuals that they may need different resources or services.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I work a lot with learning disabled students, and I'm learning disabled myself, and I think, so for me, I switch numbers and letters, which is amazing that I'm a math teacher, right? But, you know, sometimes, you know, your greatest challenge is that thing that becomes your biggest passion, right?
Yeah.
And I think for me, the big turnaround has always been just being able to say it, right? Because I think when you're learning disabled, there's a stigma. And at the time, I never had a name for what it was. I just knew that whatever I was not what other people were. And the expectations that people had for me just never seemed to work out. Like, why can't you just spell, right? Or write numbers right? And I think the biggest struggle for me was just being able to say, like, yeah, I'm not the same as everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my daughter has the same learning disability also, you know? And she's in about fourth grade now, and we've gone about 3 years where we realize this, where she's finally gotten to the point where she's just said, I'm not the same as anyone else. And, you know, it's been a big fight of her saying, I don't want to be different.
Yeah.
You know, right. But it is. And ever since we finally got there this year, we're finally starting to make real, she's starting to become real productive in terms of academics, because she kept trying to, like, model herself in terms of how she studies and what her expectations are as to everyone else. And then she's finally at a point where she realizes that she has to study different.
Mm-hmm.
And if she studies different, it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's taken a while. And I think dealing a lot with, like, her teachers, you know, because if you don't look learning disabled, people just think you don't care. Right? And that's the big thing where they go, I don't understand what your problem is. Why don't you care? And you think, I think I do. And I think, like, every year, you know, I go parent-teacher conference, and they always have your kid's smart, but, you know, she doesn't care. I'm like, oh, no, she cares. She just can't get the numbers down right.
Yeah.
So I've been like a blocker for her. And I think we're finally in that transition where we're getting her to the point where she can tell a teacher that I need to sit in front.
Right.
I need scratch paper. And the teacher will say, if you don't do it my way, you won't get credit. And she's getting to the point where he goes, I can't do it your way. I'll never get it right.
Mm-hmm.
I have to line it up this way. And if you make me, like, this is just what's going to happen because this is what my disability is.
Right.
Right. Right. But, you know, like, it's a big challenge to be eight and be able to tell your teacher, no, I can't do it that way.
Yeah.
Right.
That's huge. I mean, the ability to be able to ask for help. In any capacity, really, and it seems like your office, Ellie, is really sort of a hub of providing services for individuals who need help. And you mentioned the idea of stigma, John. If there's a stigma around a learning disability, or if there's a stigma around, you know,
poverty,
needing food, whatever it may be, it's where it's imperative to have offices like CalWORKS that's providing these services and raising awareness and letting students know and the community members know that asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's quite the opposite.
And also knowing that we all have our own challenges. If we look at every individual, we all have our own challenges. But what I see is there's always resources available. And what I learned from SAT, we started a few months ago, which is interesting. These are amazing kids coming to take the test for a whole day. And if you have learning disability, it's interesting. They give you twice the time. If you don't want to sit with a group of people that makes you nervous, you can apply and you get a room to yourself with one proctor and additional hours to perform better. Where do you get these services? I mean, this is amazing. So it's just to be open about it, just talk about it. There are so many resources that you can get and be successful for it. Of course, it's challenging, but...
Yeah, and what I'm finding out in my class is that the CalWORKS students that make it, you know, to statistics, right, or the
ones that I sent to you,
yeah,
is
so
that
the learning disabled ones that make it, you know,
right?
That make it, they're our best students.
Yes,
Right, because the thing I've been like obsessed about is this idea of compensation skills, that we all take the same algebra class, and unless there's an obstacle there, you're basically like everyone else. But if you have this obstacle of just not having time because you have kids, or this learning disability and you see the world in a different way, or poverty where you have to work around things, or responsibilities like taking care of a younger sister, younger brother, that compensation skill, that when you finally get there and you pass statistics and you know you're going to get your degree, there's this part to you that other people can't compete with because you've learned this compensation skill. And as I sort of work with these students when they try to transfer, get scholarships, and I help them write their essays, in comparison to my friends' kids who live with privilege, I don't know how these privileged kids compete. Because when I ask them about their story of what's important to you, what are you passionate about, what is it that what you live for, it's a blank. Yeah. Whereas when I talk to your students, you know, the ones you send me, there's a reason why they're here. There's a reason why they're successful. They know what that is, and they know where they want to go. And it's really inspiring.
It is very challenging for CalWORKS students. They are working. They are single parents. They live in a car. But I have many, many stories that I can share with you. They have their master's degree. They are working. They live with their kids in a car for 4 years. They had 3 luggages in the trunk, 2 for the kids, 1 for them. They would take shower in YMCA. They would go to school and come to college and do work study, and then pick up time, come go to the library, eat in the cafeteria, and sleep in the car. Mm-hmm. And she has a master's degree, so it's doable.
One of my students, she just told me, I think this was 2 years ago, she told me both of my kids got accepted to CSUN, and we had been living in a car.
Right.
And she was just about to transfer also.
Yeah.
So the 3 of them were going to be there together.
Right.
And she said the one thing I always made sure is park near the school.
Right.
So that way they'll go every day.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, when she makes it, who can compete with that kind of will?
Right.
Yeah.
So when you first came to Valley College, then this was not a passion of yours. It became a passion as you just slowly were.
I always wanted, even as a kid, I wanted to be in a social service / education.
Mm-hmm.
That was my personality.
And then how did you start it with computers then?
Well, when you come to a different country, you have to make it.
Yeah.
You have to make it. And at that time, my brother, when I came here, even when I wasn't here, I was coming in a few days. My brother made an appointment to take the exam to get my driver license because he couldn't drive me around. So before I even get here, I had the appointment in 2 days to go and take my driving exam. That shows you that as an immigrant, you don't have that much time.
Yeah.
It's very limited. I didn't know where is the north, south, east, or west. And I had to drive within 2 days, which I'm very happy and proud to do it. He sat with me and he said, there are 2 fields that you can make it in this country, either medical field or computer science. That was computer science at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I studied anatomy for 1 semester, and I could not do that. That was not my field. I can't work in the hospital. I can't work with sick people. And so okay, computer science. And I studied, and at that time, I said, okay, let's do it. But it wasn't me. I couldn't sit in front of 2 screens in a cubicle, not socializing with anybody or talking to anybody, and just looking for a little mistake here and there that the program runs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hours after hours just sitting and finally missing a semicolon somewhere.
Right.
So I used it as for teaching and making it fun for people, but it wasn't really my call.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's this, you know, like I sort of have that historical background, too, that, you know, when you're an immigrant and you're, you know, someone really struggled for you to be here and someone is really struggling for you to be here. And, you know, for you to say, well, let me do social work, that was never on that list.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That was never on that list. And even now that I've been, you know, I'm a teacher, like, I see all these majors where I go, like, I see how fulfilling that is. But it was never on the list of what I could be or what my friends' kids could be. Like, we have this limited little list. And I remember at one point my mom telling me that, like, if you do accounting, if you do math, you do engineering, mm-hmm. they can't be racist against you because the numbers don't lie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we're in a different world now. But I do remember in the 70s that, you know, we sort of crossed out a lot of things, salesperson, right. Social work, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How's that changing now for your kids?
You know,
in terms of your role as
well. See, I think, you know, I have a friend. His son has a 3.75 GPA with a nearly 1500 SAT score, and he was rejected. He was waitlisted at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Mm-hmm. Right, and there's this thing within the Asian community where there's too many of us doing exactly the same thing. So if you want to be an engineer and you go, like, my niece is a 4.0, you know, perfect straight A student, president of her school. And when my sister said, well, what are we going to write from her her college application? I said, not that. There is an Asian kid with a 4.0 who's a high school president at every school in California. There's not enough slots for them for Berkeley.
Yeah.
And so I started telling her, like, what do you really care about? And she's like, I don't know what I really care about. And I said, you know what we should do is the thing that'll set you apart is let's start having you think of a creative way to do fundraising and let's figure out something for you to care about. So I just started naming just things like digging wells for Africa.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Right? And why don't you find 3 or 4 friends, all you straight A, you know, you and all the people who are class president, vice president, why don't you actually do something that makes doesn't sense. Surround yourself? Mm-hmm. Because every one of your friends' essays that I'll read is all about you, mm-hmm. and nothing about a larger world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could totally, I work with my friends' kids all the time about essays, and the kid's essay who got rejected is the kid who just did a laundry list of these are all the things that I did, and they're remarkable things, mm-hmm. but they're not understanding that in elite education they want more from you. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to be a robot. Right. So the sad thing about this was that kid that got rejected from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo was that he had a great story. He had been donating his time at a local high school band because they couldn't afford a band coach, and he was teaching the horns. I'm like, the center of your essay should be that. That is the meaningful thing. And for him, he's like, but that's not the hard thing. Don't you understand how much, like, band camp I did, my band responsibilities? I'm like, the thing that humanizes you
right.
is that thing that where you are going every week to the local neighborhood high school, and you're teaching the horn section because they can't afford a coach.
Yeah.
And it's sad because we lose track of the thing that makes us valuable.
Right.
Right? It's not our GPA, but our humanity.
Right.
I just talked to someone who just talked to someone at Harvard, and they're starting to discount how many AP courses you get. So right now, the kids are taking five or six AP courses.
Right.
You take that many AP courses, guess what? There is no time for you to be anything else. Mm-hmm. There's no time for you to think about anything else. In that time where you're supposed to
grow,
decide who you are and develop empathy and a passion and something to work for, mm-hmm. we're removing it. Right. We've just made them so busy, right? So yeah. Harvard, like, they know that it has to start from them, that they're going to start penalizing people for taking too many AP courses.
Wow.
Which I think is great.
Yep.
Now, they haven't done it. They haven't made it official. But But that's the conversation that's going around. So even with my son, we're trying to figure out, like, my sister's like, okay, so what band orchestra, what band instrument is he going to play? Mm-hmm. And I said, none. I'd like him to have 10 hours a week to find meaningful volunteerism mm-hmm. in his community
right.
so he sees the world beyond just himself.
Right.
And what that is, I'm not sure, but, you know, within my Asian friends and family, they think I'm nuts.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't really matter by the data whether you go to Harvard, Berkeley, UCLA, or UC San Diego. It really doesn't.
No.
If you are hardworking and great at any of those schools and you have a passion for what you want to do, Stanford will find you.
Yeah, absolutely.
MIT will find you.
Yes.
They do?
Absolutely.
Right? So, like, the swerve I've made is, you know, how do I get my kids to care about something, right? Because they are middle-class privileged kids who don't have to worry, right? Mm-hmm. Who don't have this compensation skill. How do I artificially create that? So, you know, that's my dilemma. With my daughter, she wanted to have a lemonade stand to buy toys. And I said, you know what, let's do a lemonade stand and send the money to Africa.
Right.
And so we did a social media campaign. We did a lemonade stand. We made $600 to send to Africa. Because, you know, like, really, what toy do you need that you don't have?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That thread of volunteering that you're talking about your kids with, Ellie, you'd mentioned before that's something that you've done in your program as well with the community in terms of bringing in different students of different ages to volunteer within CalWORKS. What does that look like for students?
We went to the San Fernando Valley, I believe, Rotarian luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about our program and our campus and resources we have. They couldn't believe that. So they asked us to invite them to the campus about a month or 2 months ago. They came, a group of Rotarians, to our campus, and we gave them a tour and what we do. They are very involved.
Mm-hmm.
We have few volunteer neighbors that they come and they help us to provide. My staff kids and my nieces also,
mm-hmm.
They come during winter session and summer session to volunteer and work. And I usually, when I have a volunteer, for example, if your son comes mm-hmm. to volunteer in our program in summer, I will ask one of my domestic violence students, is that okay if this person sits here and help me with the paperwork? And if they okay that, they just sit and listen mm-hmm. to a domestic violence 2-hour session
mm-hmm.
and then get them through the hotline and get them a shelter, which could take a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see it in their faces
yeah.
that this is the reality of life. And they appreciate it. So I have people that they come back year after year, and programs that we have that they can work. A lot of them go and help in the childcare center because they like to be with kids.
Right.
So it depends. Many mm-hmm. of them want to come and do tutoring because they are very good students. They finish calculus, mm-hmm. 11th grade or whatever, chemistry. So they come and teach our students, especially if they are good with chemistry and math. They come and say, oh, they didn't know how to solve this problem. And they feel good about themselves teaching them or being creative to teaching them how to do it, because they see that the way they see it is very different than or their background. So that gives them some self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Gives them pride,
mm-hmm.
and I see that in their essays that they are writing to
right.
the universities.
Yeah. Right.
And I have a student who is working, who is a Valley College student, awesome kid. His plan is to go to Boston, I believe. He's doing it volunteer, and you have to see the way he works with the helping hands.
Mm-hmm.
between his classes, and I'm sure he is a 4 point something student here, but he is just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me that, like, if you were to ask me, like, what do I really want with my kid? First of all, he's still Asian, still got to be an engineer or something. But I think that's a given. Right. It's like, what, I'm very flexible. What kind of engineer do you want to be? But I think the second question is, how do we use technology to bring this up to scale? So you see some really good projects now starting with, you know, there's food available here, what pantry can get to it. And I think that that's been one really unexplored place of having someone who has technical skill, but also has awareness and exposure to sort of the issues that are out there. And how do we use technology simply to just sort of find surplus resources to places that have a need in an efficient way where that surplus doesn't go to waste.
Right.
And I think there's a real efficiency there that we could take advantage of. I think you're taking advantage of that right now, right? Yeah. Where, you know, normally, you know, food goes to spoil. There's no reason it has to, right? And I've taught at college, at schools where you just see them just dumping the day's food.
Absolutely.
Right. And there definitely is a technology efficiency that I think that's there, that if we have, you know, students out there who really care, right, that I think that there is a next level that we can get to,
right,
where it's not just manpower, but also automation.
Right.
Also, I want to mention regarding the Helping Hands is open to faculty and staff. We have many part-time faculty that they can use the pantry. They are welcome to use it, staff as well. So I just want to, if anybody hears me, the pantry is open to everybody.
Yeah, and I think that's important because, you know, when you look at, I think Cal State's, the 1 out of 5 professors are living in poverty. So even within education, you know, just there's just a lot of part-time teachers that are struggling, so.
That's true.
That's a nice know that's open for them, too.
Ellie, you've been so generous with your time,
Thank you.
In so many ways for the
Thanks
college
for
and the
having
community.
Me.
What's the best way for people to find you, to find more information about your program? Where's the location? Is there a website or a phone number? How do you want people to contact you?
Just go to LAVC website, type CalWORKS, or come to the most beautiful building on campus that we moved 2 years ago, brand new, right across from the library in the main entrance administration. We are on the first floor, right under the president's office. Just come and ask any question from 8 to 5. We are open, and just let us help you. That's it.
Well, thank you very much, Ellie. I mean, just a real inspiration to the school. I mean, if a school has a soul, it's you. So thank you very much for being there.
I want to thank everybody. I want to thank both of you for inviting me here and just talking about this program on campus. And I want to thank all faculty, staff, and students for putting this program together. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Ellie.
Oh,
that was fantastic.
Sure. Thank you. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
I know.
Thank you. It's so wonderful. Yeah. When my son turns high school, I'm going to send him to you.
Anytime.
Make him a better person than yell at him.
Cut here. Cut right here. Boom.
Thank you so much.